Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN. Brad Lidge will join us, former MLB closer, MLB Network Radio, good friend of the show, and there's a lot to get into with Brad. We'll play the Montoyo clip. If you're in the bullpen and you're one of those guys, what are you thinking when your manager basically says, this is an absolute gong show and we can't win like this? And see what Brad has to say about the whole foreign substances, spider tack era. I mean, that
right.
Tyler Glasnow went off last night. It was emotional, but he wasn't yelling and screaming, throwing things around. And he explained it. He said he believes he got an injury because for the first time in forever, he didn't use a foreign substance to help with grip, and it led to him using muscles he wasn't using before. And, you know, I don't know. He admitted, he's like, listen, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, but this is what I think happened based on the new crackdown. And if there's truth in that, then Major League Baseball really has opened up the barn door, man, and there might be some animals running out, and it could be a real issue that they won't be able to close again. So we'll see what Brad can tell us about that. Dan Wieke on a bunch of NBA news. And Donnie Nelson out, GM down in Dallas, naturally. Masai is trending online now.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone down in Dallas is like, Mark Cuban, send the private jet. Go pick up Masai. That's nerve-wracking a little bit. But
what's my boy Stanny Van Gundy? How come he keeps getting
out.
Canned, man?
1 year.
He's got the pot belly, he's got the stash, and he just, I don't know what's going on with that guy.
I don't know either. Like, he and his brother, they don't really look that similar,
no,
do they?
No, like, it's like,
Gundys.
It's just, yeah, it's nothing.
It's
one guy's
twins.
Kinda,
it's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, that right. type of lookalike.
Yeah, yeah. One guy's just got a tiny, bald bacon strips combed over. The other guy is old school, Jack Capuano with a stash, boiler hanging out, and he loves it. There was a video posted of Stan Van Gundy with his handles at practice one time.
Oh, yeah.
You got to see this guy. He's a legend.
He's such a coach, right? He's just an old ball coach.
Yeah,
Stan
grizzled.
Van Gundy, grizzled. Yeah. 1 year and he's out. So Zion Williamson, about to go into his third year, he'll have his third coach. That's the stability you're looking for with a young superstar. So that's an issue. We'll catch up with Dan later on. We got to do our U.S. Open pool here.
Yeah.
We got to set some parameters. Like, what are we doing here with the rules? What did we agree upon? Because we always go back and forth.
One Canadian, the guru gives us one guy each, and then we do a five-pack.
Okay. All right. That sounds about right. Why don't we let it breathe a little bit,
yeah.
and we'll get into it. We'll do our draft before we have Dan on, before we get into some big NBA news. There's a ton of stuff going on in the NBA today. But we'll wait on that for a little bit later in the hour. That sounds like something that we should probably do. Because we have so much going on, we're only doing a two-hour show because of the Euros. Italy winning again today. They got past Switzerland 2-0. They're through already. You know, they're 2-0 in the tournament, so they're feeling pretty good. And the Jays are back in action tonight. And with everything that went down last night, Gerrit Cole is on the mound. You know, spider tack or not, this guy's a machine. So
I like Gerrit Cole with no spider tack against chicken strips any day of the week.
Oh, you feel good about chicken strips? What if he's
no,
what
no,
if he can't
no.
use barbecue sauce?
I like Gerrit Cole. I like Gerrit Cole yeah. against chicken strips
no
any
kidding.
Day of the week.
No kidding. Of course you do. Who doesn't? Like, this is the issue that the Jays are going to run into here, where it's all about the bullpen. And as I said earlier, Ryu's last three starts.
Not
okay?
so good, man.
Not so good. 17 and two-thirds innings pitched. He's given up 17 hits, 12 earned runs. He's got 7 strikeouts, 8 walks. Mm-hmm. He's got more walks than strikeouts in his last three outings.
He's
that
just
is
not in
just,
his groove, man.
He's not in his groove, which is going to happen. They're going to have ups and downs, and he's given you 6 innings. But we focus on the bullpen, blowing leads, and all that kind of stuff. If the rotation starts to leak at all, it's pack up your bags.
It's
see
curtains.
You later. It's curtains. You're done.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, the definition of the starter is to stop losing streaks for teams and to continue winning streaks. That's when your ace is going in there. That's the main thing baseball people talk about, what your ace does. But sometimes if the ace falls into a bit of a lull, someone else has got to pick him up. Who the hell is that going to be? Bobby Ray?
Yeah, it's Bob Ray. That's who it is right now. If we're going to continue with this, it's Bob Ray. because Robbie Ray's been a stud. Like, he's pitched over the weekend. Like, the bats were the story again because they exploded the way they did. But Robbie Ray's been consistent, man. And Ryu will get this under control. Like, this, for your average starter, is a pretty good three-game run. Like, it's not that bad. For him, it's a little bit alarming because, you know, he's walking a lot of guys. He's given up a lot more earned runs than he generally would. And he's got a 6.11 ERA in his last three starts. Not ideal, you know, not ideal. But I think he'll smooth that out. He'll be fine as long as he stays healthy. Robbie Ray, if he continues to pitch the way he is, he'll be okay. Manoah's been pretty good through four rounds, right? Pretty good. So you just need the bullpen to hold on. And I'm not waiting for Shapiro and Atkins to – they're not going to do anything crazy. I think they'll acquire someone or a couple of arms in the next week or so, and they'll trade future considerations, and it'll be a guy who's maybe can throw some smoke, and he's got like a 4.50 ERA, and it's a reclamation project, but it can't be any worse than what they have. But they're not going to trade massive young pieces for patchwork bullpen arms. They're not going to do that. So they have run into a ton of injuries. Like, Kirby Yates never pitched one inning for this team. Blew out his arm. Merriweather's been injured for the majority of the year. Baruchy's been out. Phelps is done for the year. You know, they've had a lot of injury problems. And that is legit, but you've got to overcome it. And at this point, it's just not a good scene.
Well, we need Brad to come out of retirement.
That's what you need. That's exactly and that's why we invited him on today, because
talk him in.
We're going to represent the Blue Jays. He doesn't know this yet, but Shapiro and Atkins have personally asked us to try to recruit Brad Lidge. Here he is, former MLB closer, MLB Network radio host. One of our favorites, Brad Lidge. Would you ever entertain that idea? Because the Blue Jays could use you right now, Brad.
Listen, I'll entertain anything these days.
Okay.
You're darn right. I definitely have an inning, and, you know, just I'll crank away on the slider for an inning, and then we'll see if I can even lift up my arm the next day. But, you know, if you need a good inning, maybe I can give you that.
Yeah. Brett. Oh, the Jays would take anything right now. They'd take an out. Forget an inning. They'd give them an out. They'd take it. I mean, it's a mess. And I'm sure you heard Charlie Montoya last night. He dropped an F-bomb, which I've never – he is the most happy-go-lucky manager I've ever seen. Everything's all good. The sun comes up tomorrow, and even he's having meltdowns. He's like, this bullpen's a mess, and what can we do?
Yeah.
These are the guys, and this is it. I mean, how would you respond if you're in the bullpen, hearing your manager say something like that?
Well, listen, I think, you know, we kind of forget because everything seems to be, you know, so positively oriented these days, and, you know, managers need to take that approach. It's 2021, but every once in a while, a good, you know, kick to the butt will be a good thing. And I think, you know, guys in the pen need to know, hey, listen, you know, if you can't get it done, somebody else can. And, you know, you mentioned Kirby Yates there, and it hasn't been an easy path with the injuries and everything else. But, you know, at some point, if that's been the big, you know, reason your team is not able to get to the next level, then they either have to step up or somebody else will. And so I think that's fair to be pissed off. And it's fair to, you know, I'm not saying you need to scare guys and make them, you know, pitch like, you know, they're scared they're going to lose their job out there. But you do need to let them know they need to step up and perform better. That's just the reality.
Well, they've continued to watch it, Brad. I mean, I don't know what the hell they're waiting for. I mean, these kids, the offense is kind of proven to everybody around baseball that they're kind of legit and they're good enough to put up runs. I don't know why they don't try to address this problem. Like, Charlie basically was crying for help yesterday, saying, come on, like, I got nothing else to do here. I got to put these guys in. Like, I don't know why this hasn't been addressed. I think all of the Blue Jays fans are wondering the same.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's never an easy thing to do, you know, in June. And that's kind of part of the problem. Like, it can cost you a lot of games, but it's really hard to address it through a trade in June when teams aren't ready to really trade yet. Teams still kind of want a little bit more intel on who, you know, who they are and if they're going to need these guys. And so I think, you know, in some aspects, it's you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, because if this was the end of July, then a lot of teams are ready to move guys and you can make a trade real, you know, really relatively easy. But in the middle of June, it's a lot harder for teams to commit to making a trade because, I mean, shoot, if you were the Cubs, you know, they've been playing great. They were probably looking at trying to trade Kimbrel, you know, when the season started. They were probably hoping he was healthy and probably hoping he was going to deal, and lo and behold, he's done both those things. But now all of a sudden, they're leading their division, so it's harder to trade him right now. If they come, if they fall flat here in the next month, though, and they fall back to the middle of the pack, then a guy like Kimbrel goes back on the market. But it's tough at the moment for a lot of teams to say we're definitely out. We can trade bullpen pieces, until July gets a little bit closer, or the end of July gets a little bit closer.
We're chatting with longtime MLB closer and MLB Network radio host Brad Lidge. So the story in sports right now is spider tack, foreign substances, and I'm sure you heard Tyler Glasnow yesterday where he's saying he used to use sunscreen and rosin basically just for grip, and then he stopped using it a couple of starts ago, and he activated muscles he had never activated before, and he feels like that's why he blew out his arm, or nearly blew out his arm. And I don't think he's alone. There's a lot of pitchers who are saying, listen, this is what we've been using. Everyone uses something simply for grip. But there's also, within all of that, clearly there are some players weaponizing foreign substances, like spin rates, and they're throwing balls that have never been seen before in Major League Baseball. So where do you draw the line here, Brad, as a guy who pitched in the majors for a long time, had a ton of success? How can baseball make this work? And what should be the plan?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the problem is, in one sense, MLB is completely right to address this and say this needs to come out of the game because certain pitchers are taking this thing and going way too far with it. It is absolutely probably generating more, spin rate and velocity. I don't disagree with that, and I think it needs to come out of the game, guys that are loading it up too much. On the other hand, MLB completely dropped the ball on their timing. And because they've done this in the middle of the season, you're having pitchers that have to make adjustments on the fly because MLB did not provide a replacement, something to that effect where they could say, hey, listen, pitchers, you can use this. This is approved by us. It will allow you to get a grip. This could have been an experiment that MLB did in spring training, and pitchers could have, absolutely tried to test something else that was illegal and legal and sanctioned by MLB. Or MLB could have just simply waited until the end of the season and tried to implement this process next year, knowing that everyone is still on the same playing field this year. MLB doesn't like the fact that hitters, collectively are hitting 230 or whatever it is this year. I mean, it's been an awful year. But if you try and take away from the pitchers right now, then, these guys have been doing the same things for years, if not since they were in high school on trying to get a grip on the baseball. All of a sudden you take away the old sunscreen and rosin, which nobody had an issue with, hitters included, and you're saying, hey, listen, here's a slick ball. Go ahead and crank it up and try and get that spin rate back to where it was. You're going to have injuries because guys are out there now pitching with a little bit less, and they're going to try and do even more to get what they had before without having a good grip on the baseball. Not to mention, you're going to have hitters, and I hope this doesn't happen, but, one of the reasons the hitters were okay with pitchers having a little bit of grip is because they didn't want to take one off the helmet. I mean, that we could end up going back to that as well without a lot of pitchers having the same grip. So I think the end result is that because MLB has implemented this in the middle of the season, you're going to have more injuries. And I don't think they did a very good job, processing this and calculating this and talking to pitchers about how it was going to impact them during the course of the regular season. Again, I think that MLB should do what they're doing, but the timing is just awful.
Other than injuries, like what kind of drop-off could we possibly see? Gerrit Cole takes the mound tonight against the Jays. Like,
yeah.
Could this guy wheel out there and be Rick Ankiel and be throwing it over the back screen? Or like, what kind of potential are we looking at for a guy that was a consistent user and had optimum performance?
Yeah, I think it's a really fair question. I don't think we're going to see, Gerrit Cole of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think he's a much better, much more polished pitcher from when he was there. But I also don't think we're going to see the same guy that was just having these explosive spin rates the last couple of years. If he was somebody who was indeed loading up, a little bit with this, spider tack, I can see him still being a very, very good, even if he was, I could still see him being a very, very good pitcher, but maybe not quite that top, five guy in MLB, maybe more like a top 25 guy, which is still good for the Yankees, but obviously not the guy they paid for. Now, again, that's assuming that he's loading it up and he's been using this stuff a lot. But I think when you connect the dots and you go back and you look at how his spin rates exploded when he got to Houston, when we already know Verlander has said thank you to the Angels clubhouse guy for helping him with this stuff. it doesn't take a rocket scientist to connect the dots. It's likely, in my opinion, and I don't know this, but it is likely that Gerrit Cole was really kind of loading up the baseball and getting a lot of spin because of it. And I think you're going to see his spin rates take a step back, and I think he won't be quite as effective, but I still think he'll be a very good pitcher in the major leagues, of course.
Well, it's always great to have you on, Brad. We always love the insight, man. And this one, obviously, is right in your wheelhouse. And I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. You bet. Have a good one.
You got it. Brad Lidge, former MLB closer, MLB Network Radio. He makes a very good point. This is what Manfred is getting roasted for, right? Which, you know, he's always being reactive. And he's always like, oh, we got a problem. All right, this is it. We got to fix it. You've gone this far. Like, you're already a third through the season.
Panicky. It's panicky maneuvers.
Let it go through the rest of the year. Do what you're going to do. Reset in the offseason, and then let pitchers work on it throughout the offseason.
Have a big powwow. Have a get all the pitchers and meet somewhere, yep, and see it with your own eyes, the effects, how it can help. I don't know. It's panicky.
You know what? All of these leagues,
gutless,
they're reactive instead of proactive. Mm-hmm. If they feel there's a problem, then get ahead of it and go, okay, you know what, we're going to get to your point, Hayes, like, let's get through this season, and this summer we're sitting down and we're figuring out what's best for the pitchers, the batters, and the best for our league moving forward. Because you do need a product that you need. This is an entertainment business, and if the pitchers are just dummying everybody, then that's not as entertaining. If the hitters are just knocking them out of the park. It wasn't that long ago, didn't they change the density of the ball or something?
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, they've been messing around with stuff and
forever. I would much rather them be proactive. Everything is reactive. We got to do this. We got to change that. Just allow it to unfold and get smart people into a room to sort it out. People who have experience, pitchers and batters, and they can help with that process.
Absolutely, and there can be science behind it, like Brad just said.
Have
something that can be utilized that is simply for grip, that cannot be weaponized, right? And even have the training staff involved, where it's like, this is how much you can offer up, and that's it. And let them use that, and then go ahead, throw whatever you got. And that seems like something you'd be willing to put some time into it, invest in, and get members of all three parties, four parties, pitchers that use it, pitchers that weaponize it, batters that don't care, and batters that really do care. Put them all in a room, figure out what you can find in the middle, and implement it starting next year. Because the league doesn't end next year anyway. You're doing this for the next hundreds and hundreds of years. Figure it out. It doesn't have to be done overnight, because there's an article in Sports Illustrated and people are freaking out today. But that's the way Manfred operates, and I agree with what Lidge and others have been saying. Glasnow said it last night. Do it during the offseason. It's a pretty massive change.
Right.
Dan Wiecke will join us of the LA Times. There's a lot going on in the NBA. We'll get to that. We'll get to our U.S. Open draft. The Golf Guru is going to have a couple of picks, a couple of Canadians, and a five-pack. Very standard, very proficient, very effective. Right. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Jerry's After Dark later in the hour. Dan Wiecke of the LA Times on the NBA news of the day. There's been a lot of it. A couple games in the NBA playoffs tonight. One in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Habs, big underdogs against Vegas. Last time I checked, Vegas was -255
win
tonight. Yeah, it's a pretty significant odd. But listen, that's why you play the games, right? That's why you play the games. And in Montreal, last time I checked, they were going back and forth on whether or not they would extend the curfew when the Habs games were ongoing, like for bars and patios. I don't know if they came to a conclusion on that. I didn't see anything today. But why not? Forget COVID when the Habs are playing.
If they did it at the French Open, just make it happen.
Well, I think if you're going to do it during a Habs game, just do it any night.
Why?
So the Habs are playing tonight. Yeah, we could extend it. But tomorrow when there's no one out because it's a Thursday or whatever, we can't do it. Got to close early. Anyway, Dan will join us here in a moment. U.S. Open. Do we have a coin we can flip? Is that how we're playing this? I think we need to do a coin flip.
No, I got first pick last big tournament. You get to go first.
Is that right? Wow. Is that right? How about
so
that?
How do you want to work it? Because I've got a tier one, a tier two, and a long shot.
You got to give us long shots.
I can give you two from each, however you want to work it, like whatever. Like,
I think one from each from the guru is fine. I think why not expand it and get a little bit crazy here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tier one.
Go ahead.
You
want to start with
one.
Long shot, or do you want to start with?
Start with a bang. Give us a couple of tier ones, one each, and then a tier two, and then a long shot.
Okay, for my tier one, who's number one?
I'll take the first one.
Hayes.
Yep.
Dustin Johnson.
Oh, great. Oh, great tier one. I love it. It's a great pick.
All right. DeChambeau.
I wanted him badly with that first pick.
Is DeChambeau, why? What's the look on his face? He doesn't like DeChambeau?
No, it's fine.
Back to back.
Why? Hold on a second.
No, I like it. It's just you're the guru, and we got to live with
sure.
it.
I wasn't sure. I was going to go Koepka or DeChambeau.
No, it's a good pick.
No.
It's a good pick.
Okay, mid-range and then a long
mid-range
shot.
Mid-range is Xander Schauffele.
Schauffele, I love Xander. I love Xander as a tier two guy. You know I was going to pick him anyway in my five-pack. Thank you,
yeah?
Guru. Yes, so I love
Schauffele.
Xander.
Okay.
Schauffele, yep. Right
and
there.
And for O, Justin Thomas.
That's not a tier two guy.
That guy's you know what? He hasn't won in a while. He is right now a tier two player.
That's like, outrageous.
No,
it's 20-1.
Moving on.
To long shots.
The guru with JT is a tier two guy. I like it. Okay.
Well, I put him down.
Who's my long shot? John Rahm?
No, your long shot for you is Bubba Watson. 100-1.
He's going to have goofy shoes on, iron covers. Okay.
And,
Bubba.
And for O is Christian Bezuidenhout.
Bezuidenhout.
I love it.
Good little sneaky pick.
There. Those are my two.
The guru, I like your picks for the O-Dog in particular. Bryson, JT, and Bezuidenhout. Those are pretty quality picks.
Yeah.
I apologize to JT if he's not a tier two guy, but
he's the number two ranked player in the world right now. Tier two guy.
Gutless by me. I apologize.
That's all good. Listen, I like Xander as much as JT or close to it anyway. So
okay, there you go.
All right, if I have the first pick, I'm going to go with John Rahm. I'm going to go with him. This would be a great story. Gets off the saddle, out of COVID protocol. What we saw to him 2 weeks ago, and he loves Torrey Pines. Torrey Pines. I will take John Rahm.
I'll take Brooks Koepka.
Do you see him wobbling around today? I'm sure you saw that video.
I don't care.
Oh, you should.
I saw the video.
It looked like it was all for show.
It was all for show.
I could
like
see
Tiger Woods limping around saying, I'm hurt. That's what it was.
At Torrey Pines, I could totally see that too. I could see it, and it wouldn't even surprise me. I will go with my boy, Colin Morikawa.
See, that's a tier two guy.
Yeah, he'd be around. I mean, if he's a tier two guy, there's like four or five tier one guys.
Right. I only had like a top 10. And
I like it. I like
top
it, Guru.
Five, and then the rest were a little bit. I guess, yeah. Morikawa's 22-1. So that's
that
the same
right.
as Justin Thomas.
Okay.
I will go with my guy by the name of Jordan Spieth.
Ooh, I do not like him at Torrey.
I don't know why.
I'm not sure. I don't have an answer for you. I feel like he's just going to hit the dirt. You know who I do love at Torrey Pines? Who loves Torrey Pines? And you know this guy's going to get one. It's just a matter of time. Tony Finau. I will look at Finau's stats at Torrey since like 2017. Off the charts. Everything. Number one in every statistical category, except for actually winning, but that's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. Tony Finau, lock in contention.
25-1.
Sunday. Yeah, I love Tony.
A lock for me who always has his nostrils flaring like a dragon is Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah, Cantlay's coming off a pretty good – he had a good little tournament at the Memorial. I played tough, too, just like Torrey Pines. Well, now I'm running into it a little bit because there's a part of me that wants to go back to what happened at the Farmers Insurance Open where we saw some funny business, but we saw a guy close on Sunday. I'll go with Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
I'll take Reed. I don't think he wins at Torrey twice in a calendar year, but You never know. He knows all the spots where the cameras can't get to it, and I think he'll be very intriguing to watch this weekend. I'll take Reed.
I'm going to pick one of your favorites, one of the best-dressed men on the tour, Rick Hovland.
I like that pick. Yeah, Victor Hovland. Very quality. All right, now I'm really starting to search because now it's like, do I get crazy here? Crazy. And take a guy that I had never heard of prior to last week.
What about Patrick Reed?
I just took Reed.
Took him. Oh, sorry.
I just took Reed. Reed's off the board. Don't worry about him, Guru.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't worry about him.
I was writing things down. I apologize.
I'm going to get crazy. Back-to-back on the tour. Garrick Higo.
Dude, Garrick, you are on drugs.
Have you seen what this guy's been doing in Europe? This guy, for starters, he hits the ball 380 yards off the tee.
He's 50 to 1.
Don't worry about odds. It. He's a South African. He's the new Ernie Els.
If
That's
you're
going to
give
is.
Me a layup, I'll take someone from my homeland named Rory McIlroy.
McIlroy. Yeah. Okay, there it is. All right, and a couple of Canadians quickly.
I got to go Mac Hughes. He's my guy.
Okay, I'll keep going Connors. Lock that in for the future.
Yeah.
Connors for me, Hughes for you. Can't believe I just took Garrick Higo. McIlroy's on the board.
I had down the board, there's 1,000 to 1 odds.
Yeah.
I came up with two, like, I don't know if you want. That's long, long shot. I went 100 to 1.
They have no shot, dude. Those are guys who have played themselves
in. Zero chance of even making the cut?
No, like they'll shoot 85,
78, 85. 78, goodbye.
Yeah.
Yusuke SJ.
No.
SJ.
No, never heard
and
of them.
And Zach Zabak.
No.
Never heard of them.
I don't even want them.
Matsuyama would have been a guy to maybe look at. The Masters winner.
Dude, you took Higo over Matsuyama.
I took him over Rory.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
sad.
I'm taking Higo, though. I'm going down with the ship. The Golf Report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Adventure on safely in a Subaru.
To one more each. You get Cameron Smith, I get Scottie Scheffler, or vice versa. Which one do you want?
I'll take Smith.
I'll take Scottie Scheff. He
Scheffler's
going
to win one. Yeah, he does. He looked good a couple weeks ago. He looked very good a couple weeks ago. I hate my team. I really hate my team.
Even the ones I gave you?
Listen, I got DJ, Xander, Morikawa, Rahm, Fina. Forget it, man.
They're
I like my
good
team.
Teams.
Yeah, all you need is a winner, an outright winner. They could all miss the cut. One guy goes on to win, my boy Garrick Higo. If Higo wins, you got to give me odds on that. It's just such a great pick.
I'll give you 200 to 1 on a hunch that Garrick Higo doesn't win the U.S. Open.
Fine.
Done.
Whoa.
Wait a minute, what did we just lock in? I don't even know what we just locked
down.
In.
200 to 1?
200 to 1. What am I putting down?
100 if you lose, you idiot.
So you're giving me 200 to 1 as an outright winner?
Yeah. On Higo.
I don't love it that much. I'm not a big fan. Higo was my last pick. All right, anyway.
It's off then.
Let me think about it. We'll get back into it.
No.
All right, he is a national NBA writer for the LA Times. Here is Dan Wyke. How you doing, Dan?
Guys, what did I just walk into? Like,
I don't know, Dan.
It's like the Washington Wizards locker room in the early 2000s.
I know.
Something's getting settled friendly here.
It's getting a little bit. We're talking about some guy, a golfer we never heard of a week ago, and now all of a sudden we have to have some scratch on his play at the U.S. Open. So,
I like it.
Yeah, it's
like
a pretty degenerate conversation is what you're walking into. To put it lightly. So you're in L.A. You know, you're writing for the Times. You write about the NBA. You write about the whole scene. And there's a lot to get into here. But LeBron put himself back onto the front page. And I guess Kawhi Leonard basically factors into that, where Kawhi is out indefinitely. It feels like he's done for the series, maybe for the playoffs. And LeBron jumps on Twitter today, goes on like a multi-tweet diatribe about how he called it. He told the NBA, don't start us up too early or you're going to face injury issues. There have been a lot of injury problems. Are you buying what LeBron is selling?
Sort of, I guess. You kind of hit all the high points, right? Like, this is LeBron inserting himself back into the conversation. And LeBron is known to do this from time to time, right? Whether it's a jersey change or winning a title or anything like this. This is somebody who's operated under the eye of attention for his whole career. So, he knows what he does and says matters. And to me, like, I asked LeBron before the season kind of what his reaction was to finding out that he'd have to be back by, Christmas. And his response was like, oh, bleep. That's how I responded, oh, bleep. And look, it was going to be a Laker problem. I think obviously the compressed nature of the schedule was a problem for a lot of players and for a lot of teams. And it's certainly part of sort of the tapestry of what's happened this year, right? I think we're going to see this in a lot of sports, guys. This sort of notion, right, that you could pull the emergency brake on everything, which is essentially what happened last March, right, or two Marches ago, I guess now, and then sort of, just pick back up without there being, long-term consequences or ripple effects from that original stoppage. I was talking to a league source of mine today, and we were kind of kicking around sort of how this all went down, and the person from the NBA was sort of defending the league's position. I kind of said, if we're honest about this, though, ultimately, right, the NBA wanted to play as many games as possible to lose the least amount of money possible. And if they really made a misstep, in my opinion, it was that they didn't just decide to go head-to-head with the Olympics in the playoffs. They could have extended the season into August and just kept the calendar and kind of slowly worked the calendar back to kind of the preferred NBA schedule. Instead of trying to do it all in one year. And I think that was ultimately the misstep, but I don't know how big of a misstep ultimately that is. This is a once in 100 years pandemic, weird stuff's going to happen. And I think the NBA is experiencing a bunch of weird stuff.
Dan, what got your attention the most today? All kinds of weird stuff. Kawhi news, CP3 news, firings.
Yeah.
We had a crazy day in the hockey world about 3 or 4 years ago. It was just insane where everything kind of happened at once. What got your attention the most today?
It's funny. I think the Stan Van Gundy firing was the one that I think was the most surprising. Weirdly, that you had. I know it's strange, right? That you had. A star player testing positive for COVID. Even somebody who's been vaccinated, right? We've seen that stuff happen in the States in sports. We saw it happen with the Yankees, where you had a bunch of breakthrough positives. It was kind of bound to happen, right? I've been in some of these full arenas, and it just, I was texting with a source of mine, with the Lakers, who was in Phoenix, and he was saying, my vaccine's getting a workout here. Because there's 14,000 screaming people in an arena, not a lot of mask wearing, and you're this is still really happening around us. And I think I kind of just shook my head at it, right? But to be honest, I've covered Chris Paul for a long time, and he's had rotten luck in the playoffs. So for him to have more rotten luck in the playoffs, it wasn't all that surprising to me. Same goes for Kawhi Leonard, right? This is a guy who's been battling injuries, and that's been sort of part of his narrative for 4 or 5 seasons now. I kind of knew it wasn't going to be great when in a pretty important playoff game, he sat the final 6 minutes. That told me it was probably not going to be great. The Van Gundy thing, and this is why it got me weirdly, is that you start to think about the future of the league and how much of that rests on Zion Williamson. And it's that guy is going to be playing for his third coach in 3 seasons in this league. For whatever reason, that was the one that I was I just didn't see it coming. I probably should have. But then obviously, I think when we learned later in the day that, the Dallas Mavericks front office has sort of been unraveled, and it's just kind of the totality, it was sort of like death by 1,000 paper cuts today in some ways for me. It was just sort of the totality of everything was when's it going to stop? A scout told me a great line today. He said, I'm not picking up the phone. It can't be good news.
Well, it's true, and we're chatting with Dan Wiecke of the LA Times, and obviously up here in Toronto, everyone's spidey sense is going off because of what happened in Dallas, right? Although there have been reports coming out that there's some unrest in that front office. There's some weird going-ons, and I guess someone was hired recently in that front office who has a louder voice and a lot of pull within the organization. And Luka, everything that's going on, but the connection of Masai Ujiri, because he's still not signed with Toronto. As an outsider, we appreciate your view because you're as connected as you are, but you don't have any bias to Toronto or to Masai, for that matter. Could you connect those dots? Do you see those dots at all? Where does Masai Ujiri stand in all of this?
There very well may be a number makes Masai Ujiri want to move to Dallas, Texas. There very well may be a number that, I think obviously the building around Luka, like that's the fun part, right? Like the hard part is finding someone as good as Luka, and that would be appealing, I would think, right? Like you have the star and you get to sort of mold the clay around him. I could see how that would be appealing. And I think the money would be right. I don't think he would enjoy working for Mark Cuban at all. It's sort of just my general sense, kind of knowing what I know about how the Mavericks front office works and knowing what I know about Masai. Does he really want to work with a super hands-on owner? I mean, super hands-on owner, like stands on the outside of the huddles hands-on, kind of shoots free throws on the courts before the game level of hands-on ownership. Is that really what he wants? Does he have the patience, the stomach? Now, look, they're, like I said, there could be a number that can make that all palatable. I know there would be one for me. But you talk to people who have worked in Dallas before, and that's kind of what they point to in all of this stuff, right, is that you've got, a meddling owner. And you want an owner who's involved and willing to spend money, and Mark Cuban is those things, and that's good, and he's interested and he cares. To steal a phrase from LeVar Ball, is he a guy who knows how to stay in his lane? I don't think he does.
The host of this show thought KD needed a performance last night for his own legacy, if you can believe that, Dan. What did you make of what KD? What did you make of what KD did last night? And can they kind of hang on for dear life here with the injuries?
Well, that's a good question too. Because there is in my column today at Daily Times, you sort of write that it's like it feels like okay, like the stage is set for the Brooklyn Nets to go win the title, and can be celebrated as sort of the last team standing. But it's like, Kevin Durant just played 48 minutes. James Harden just played, 46, I think, in that game?
Yep, 46.
And, that could very well have effects in 48 hours, too. so we don't really know what kind of lays ahead for them. It was probably one of the best playoff games. Let's not even coach. It's one of the best performances I've ever seen. He was incredible on offense. Incredible on defense. Willed that team to victory. Got nothing from James Harden except a headache. Did he need it to cement his legacy? I don't think so. I mean, I've always kind of viewed him as probably the most unique scorer in NBA history. Is sort of how I don't think there's a qualifier in that. Could he have used it if you want to argue that he's the best player in the world right now? I think maybe it signals he's back fully, in the truest sense. But you just always, I was in the building. I mean, you guys saw it in that series against the Raptors, and it's just like that seeing him on the court, watching that Achilles kind of like almost like a schoolhouse map kind of roll up the back of his leg. How can that not be a problem in the future at some point? You figure it has to be, but, what he did last night was, he looked like the best player in the world.
It was a phenomenal performance. And the whole thing about a legacy platform is it can go both ways. You perform the way you do, we're going to remember that for a long, long time. You're allowed to use it on a positive side as well. It's not only negative. That's the way he performed last night. It was an incredible night.
I'm a newspaper journalist in America. It mostly is always negative.
It generally is. And believe me,
how we handle things.
That's what I was driving home yesterday, that if he failed, I would just be railing on him today. But today he didn't. He performed. He was just outstanding last night, and the series goes back to Milwaukee. Always great to catch up with you, Dan. We really appreciate the time, man. We'll do it again soon.
All right, guys, you be good, be safe, and we'll talk soon.
You got it. Dan Wieke, national NBA writer for the LA Times.
Would you like to hear one more time before we go to break my favorite new clip on the show?
Yeah.
He put the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis over his lap and gave them a spanking with a leather belt. And it was Gucci.
And it was Gucci.
And it was Gucci.
I don't know. I still like the Kevin Durant comment. Like him. I'm Kevin Durant.
I'm
like
Kevin Durant.
We got to find that sound because I thought that was legendary too. Like he was looking at people going like, are you shocked? I'm Kevin Durant.
His burner accounts last night, he was up till 3, 4 in the morning last night just going nuts, burner accounts. I probably heard from him last night. I should go back and look. Shout out to KD. Did exactly what I said he had to. Love to see that type of performance. We'll see if he goes tomorrow night. If we're up to Reggie Miller, he wouldn't even fly to Milwaukee. Stay in Brooklyn. Jerry's After Dark. We wrap up a busy afternoon. Overdrive continues.
Stupid.
TSN 1050 and on TSN.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we do. You're in the mood, Jerry, for one more.
Gucci belt.
Hot take.
Phil Mickelson may not win the U.S. Open, but he'll be in contention on Sunday. And that's the bottom line, because Jerry said so. Brian Hayes couldn't compete at the children's version of Drive, Chip, and Putt on Tuesday morning.
Well, that's not true. The last seven holes, I would have dummied every other kid in the competition. Yeah. One over the final seven.
You went Hale Irwin the last seven holes.
I showed up big time, man. Made the cut. It's all good. But we just went through our picks, and the golf guru was too gutless to take Mickelson. And we were too gutless to take Mickelson.
Yeah.
So clearly none of us believe he'll be in contention, but...
There's a part of me that thinks there's just a negative vibe at Phil because he can't avoid the risk and the precision. But he just went on a golf course where you couldn't exactly spray it all over the place, man. Like there was a lot of trouble there. And this is his home track, and this would literally be the capping on a fairy tale ending. I kind of think it's going to happen, but I also think there's no chance. I'm going to go 52% he's in contention.
Gutless number.
Wow.
Gutless number.
I'm going higher because he wasn't high on my list, but I believe in him.
Okay.
I'm going 68%.
68%
yeah.
for Phil.
Yeah.
I'm going very low on this because all the magic was there. You know how golf is, man. You have it one weekend, you may not ever get it again. Phil has had it many times throughout his career, many times. You're right. Kiawa is as tough of a track as Torrey Pines, easily, if not tougher. And he knows Torrey Pines even more than he knows Kiawa. But everything hit for him. He had an unbelievable weekend at 50. He's now 51. Not that it matters. I mean, that was a month ago.
Right.
I just can't see the stars aligning again for Phil. At his age, this tournament always burns him. I'm not sure he's even going to make the cut. You know, I think that was his big party, and it was an incredible one. He won the PGA Championship, man. Like, that's just an incredible feat. To keep asking for more is asking a lot.
Yeah.
So I'll leave the door open 20%, but that's all I can give him.
That's 20%. It, eh?
That's all I can give him. I hope he proves me wrong, but
I do too.
We'll see. I'll bet you Garrick Higo is in contention on Sunday.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Higo knows what's up. He knows what's up. All right, we're out of here. Enjoy the games tonight. Game 2, Habs Vegas. We'll have it all for you tomorrow afternoon. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games. We're back tomorrow at...
Jerry Higo sucks. 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.